Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this nice and sunny Sunday morning. Really happy to see all of you here. We have a few announcements for you. I hope you came hungry because we are having our chili cook-off after worship. Someone here delightfully renamed it Chili Palooza, and I'm ever so thankful for that. There's some award-winning chili that is being served after worship and some soup. This is going to be a time for us to express gratitude for this past year, to think about what God is calling us towards for the coming year, and with that sort of in mind, there's a new bulletin board up there, and I need your help with it. I need you to, there's some extra fruits and vegetables on the table next to the bulletin board with a marker. If you could write down the things that you have gratitude for, especially in regards to the church, but anything, really. And you can staple it to the board yourself, or you can set it aside and someone will artfully place it where they think it should go. Yeah, so help me out with that. I'll also be bringing those fruits and vegetables over to the chili luncheon afterwards, and we can fill things out there too, okay? So one of the reasons that filling up that bulletin board and showing people how we overflow with gratitude is that we're going to have a lot of visitors here on Thanksgiving Eve. We are hosting the North Hills Ministerium's Community Thanksgiving Eve Worship Service. That's a mouthful. We're just going to have a lot of people here for Thanksgiving Eve worship. That's Wednesday, November 22nd at 7 p.m. So plan to attend and show the community just how amazing Glenshaw Valley is. We will, I know you just baked a lot, we will need some more cookies or baked goods for the fellowship after worship. You can see BJ for that. Yeah, so that'll be great. And just an FYI, I will be indisposed tomorrow. I am old enough now that I need to get one of those preventative colonoscopies. So if I was, I know, so exciting. This also means that I can't have award-winning chili today. Yeah, so if I was president, I would have to like sign over authority to the vice president and that stuff. So you're not allowed to have any pastoral emergencies tomorrow. But if you do, get in touch with your deacon. Or send me, if it's not that much of an emergency, send me an email. I'll get back to you. Okay? That's also a reminder for you. Get your preventative screenings done. Okay? All right. Any other announcements? Is there anything else that I'm forgetting? Yes. Yeah, we're really trying to collect some Thanksgiving-related foodstuffs for the food bank. We've got some extra boxes around. That would be fantastic.
Calendar says there's a women's meeting and a deacon's meeting next week.
Oh, is there a women's meeting next week? Yes, and we do have a deacon's meeting scheduled for after worship. That's a lot. That's a lot for one day. and Sunday school. Yeah, that's a lot scheduled for one time. We can, deacons, we can discuss it if we want to move it or not. I'm sorry? Okay, well, yeah, let's get together after worship and figure that calendar stuff out. Thank you. I'm glad somebody pays attention to what's going on around here. All right. Anything else?
Can we do the
absolutely. I wondered why you were all gussied up. Mm-hmm. All right. With that, let us place our cell phones in their most silent, prayerful, and meditative settings, and prepare our hearts as we... that's the other thing. We don't have the screen, so make sure you're looking at your bulletin, because our screen projection person is away. Okay. Sorry. Now, let us prepare ourselves to worship God with our call to worship. Come all who are weary from the past week. We come seeking rest. We come seeking comfort. Come all who are in need of inspiration for the week ahead. We come seeking God's truth, word, and worship that will set us on the faithful path. Come all who are humble, open, and ready to learn. We come as God's students, ready to listen and learn. Please rise as you are able for our opening hymn, 203, Jesus, Jesus, fill us with your love. Beloved ones, our spirits are like new grass, and at the dawn they spring up fresh, but by sunset they dry up and wither, blown away in spiritual death. Let us confess our frailty before a merciful God. Lord, we confess we do not live as those worthy to be entrusted with the good news of your grace. We relate to others callously as though we do not trust that gospel ourselves. We seek to please and manipulate, using flattery to gain praise and distinction. We use condescension as a mask to cover insecurity or a need for power. Our motives are mixed and pure. Lord, reassure and cleanse us in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved ones, believe again in the gospel that in Christ we are accepted as we are. Believe that we are forgiven, loved with delight of a nursing mother cherishing her child. Believe that we are the church, the body of Christ, called to love one another as gentle children of God. Amen. Friends, now let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I fully understand if you don't have those in front of you.
35 in the hymnal.
Oh, it's number 35 in the hymnal, if you need the words. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Let us now lift up our prayers of joy and concern for the world, the community, and this church. Eternal God, we gather as Christians who love each other and love this world. Our hearts are burdened by the violence we witness in nations far away and in neighborhoods close to home. We grieve when your people suffer and your peaceable kingdom seems like an impossible dream. It's just too much at times, oh God. We'd much rather keep our heads down and push on, pretending that all is okay. And yet you call. You call us not to close ourselves off from the pain and suffering of the world. You call us to stay human, to care for the suffering, to seek understanding and not dehumanize enemies as objects easy to dismiss. You know our history of complicated conflicts, tense polarization, and situations so politicized that we are afraid to say or pray anything. Yet we know that you grieve the violence of war and condemn abhorrent acts of terrorism. As war continues to rage on in the Holy Land, we know you grieve the historical suffering of Jews and Palestinians. May our prayers for peace be uttered out loud for all to hear. Our prayers for diplomacy and for difficult yet faithful conversations to resume. God, we also groan in grief over the ongoing war between Ukraine and Russia. Pave a path towards peace in this tragic conflict and all wars happening across the globe. Protect the innocent wherever bombs of destruction fall. God of grace, even as wars rage, there is suffering close to home as well. We pray for those who worry about loved ones and care for their sick. We pray for the exhausted, the depressed, the grief-stricken who we count among our friends and family. We pray for the poor and the marginalized, for the angry and the overlooked. This week, we especially pray for Kathy Henry Edo as she is recovering from knee surgery at home. Holy One, in a world so broken and in need of love, you do not leave us without hope. Your scriptures help us glimpse your vision for our future, a vision of our planet redeemed and renewed, a vision of peace and comfort where death, crying, and pain will be no more. You are at work in our world, making all things new. God, our Savior, we place our trust in this hopeful promise, even as we live, trying our faithful best to be Christ's body, hands, his feet, sharing your love with others. Now, as the people of the church and the body of Christ, hear us as we pray together the prayer Jesus Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee, number 738. be seated. With thanksgiving for the bounty of this work, of this earth, the work we have been given to do, the joy of sharing so that others may also live, we gather our gifts at this time, loving our neighbors as ourselves. God, we offer these gifts to you. May your favor be upon them and prosper the labor of our hands, that your generous power may be manifest to all, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. So this morning's scripture reading is from Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 12. Sometime later, Moses left the lowlands of Moab. He went up Mount Pisgah to the peak of Mount Nebo, which is across the Jordan River from Jericho. The Lord showed him all the land as far north as Gilead and the town of Dan. He let Moses see the territories that would soon belong to the tribes of Naphtali, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah, as far west as the Mediterranean Sea. The Lord also showed him the land in the south from the valley near the town of Jericho, known as the City of Palm Trees, down to the town of Zoar. The Lord said, Moses, this is the land I was talking about when I solemnly promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that I would give land to their descendants. I have let you see it, but you will not cross the Jordan and go in. And so Moses, the Lord's servant, died there in Moab, just as the Lord had said. The Lord buried him in the valley near the town of Beth Peor. But even today, no one knows exactly where. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyesight was still good and his body was still strong. The people of Israel stayed in the lowlands of Moab, where they mourned and grieved 30 days for Moses, as was their custom. Before Moses died, he had placed his hands on Joshua, and the Lord had given Joshua wisdom. The Israelites paid attention to what Joshua said and obeyed the commands that the Lord had given Moses. There has never again been a prophet in Israel like Moses. The Lord spoke face to face with him and sent him to perform powerful miracles in the presence of the king of Egypt and his entire nation. No one else has ever had the power to do such great things as Moses did for everyone to see. Bless the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. God, you call us through your word and read and proclaimed. May our eyes be opened and our hearts be willing to follow wherever your spirit leads. Amen. So, that's kind of a rough ending. It's kind of a hard passage to read about Moses. We don't really get any sort of inclination about what Moses was feeling at the time. It's really just a narrator. But to not be able to set foot in the promised land, to be so close, he could see the full splendor of the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he wouldn't get to celebrate with the Israelites as they crossed. He wouldn't get to plant a single seed, let alone taste any of the fruit from the land. And disappointment doesn't seem to be a strong enough word. After everything Moses did for the Israelites and for God, after confronting Pharaoh, leading 600,000 people through the Red Sea, and quite honestly, it was probably closer to 1 million because that number doesn't reflect women and children, followed by 40 years of wandering around in the desert, dealing with the whining and complaining, not to mention idolatry of the people. If anyone has earned the right to cross into the promised land, surely it's Moses. Pop quiz. Folks who were in Bible study, you don't get to answer yet. Does anyone know why Moses can't enter the promised land? I know you all have the Torah memorized. Well, we get the answer kind of, in Numbers chapter 20. And the short version is this. When they were in the wilderness and the Israelites were complaining about not having any water, like that's important, God gives Moses and Aaron these step-by-step instructions for getting water out of the rock at Meribah. But Moses is a little, shall we say, irritated with the people and all of their complaining and just being people. And so Moses does it his own way. God told him to speak, and Moses struck the staff on the rock instead. And the impression that I get from that story is that God wanted to show the people God's holiness, but Moses took it into his own hands. And that's when God tells Moses and Aaron that they will see the promised land, but they will not enter it themselves. I gotta be honest here, like even that account doesn't really provide me with a lot of satisfactory answers. I'm not convinced that Moses deviated from God's instructions all that much, or that the people thought more highly of Moses than of God. And that kind of makes me think that Moses' inability to enter the promised land isn't really a lesson about, now make sure that you follow exactly to the letter what God is asking. I think this passage and the story of Moses in general is about being faithful, even grateful in the face of disappointment. I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, that there isn't a single person here today that hasn't encountered a disappointment. And if you haven't, please come talk to me, because I want to know what that feels like. There are so many times when life, even a life of faith, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The word disappointment means pretty much what it sounds like. It's like to miss an appointment, to schedule something, to have that scheduled expectation broken, a previously calendared promise erased. And the greater that promise, that expectation, the more devastating the disappearance. I've known some fantastic couples who would make the most amazing parents, but are unable to conceive. I've been part of fervent prayers in the ICU and the cancer ward that seem to fall on deaf ears. And I've seen so many people who've done everything right, and they're standing atop Pisgah so close to what they desire, but they're just unable to touch it. I've certainly had my own fair share of disappointments, failed relationships, dreams of becoming a professor dashed, a canceled wedding, the unexpected illnesses of death and deaths of friends, colleagues, family members. All of those things were followed with frustration and even resentment, and asking me to be grateful during those times. As legitimate as our complaints to God regarding our disappointments might be, there's also a really great power in seeing our own stories as part of something bigger. Moses knew that his ministry would end just short of his intended destination. Yet he still spends his last breaths in blessing and praise of God. Unconditionally devoted to God, Moses was content to leave the rest of it to God. It didn't matter that he already knew his feet would never walk in the land flowing with milk and honey. He knew God had it under control, and that other people would reap the fruit of his labors. That Joshua would lead the people into the promised land. Part of what helped Moses accept and even embrace not making it to the promised land was his intimate relationship with God. Even though we know that Moses experienced multiple failures, Deuteronomy still describes him at the end as a remarkable servant and child of God. He is remembered as a unique prophet who saw God face to face. God even personally buries Moses following his death, a supremely intimate act. Moses is enfolded into God's work in a very meaningful way. Moses was able to express gratitude because he understood that God started the work and God will move it to completion. You and I don't need to literally see physically God or literally hear God the way that Moses did in order to experience this kind of intimate relationship that Moses had with God. We here are all servants of a God who is patient and therefore sometimes moves a little more slowly than we do or would like. We mortals like to set our own benchmarks for success. We make our own to-do lists, and we get so caught up in the outcomes. And as a ministry leader, I feel the pressure to produce these tangible pieces, this evidence to show the work that I do. But then I also wonder how much of what we judge as a good outcome will actually have the kind of long-lasting impact that God is looking for. I will say that we, like a lot of churches, we like to focus on membership numbers. And I will be the very first to admit that butts and pews would feel very encouraging. Being able to write down a steady increase in membership looks fantastic on paper. And the more people that we have in the pews usually means more funds for paying the electric bill and repairing the bell tower. But maybe, the numbers, the figures aren't that important to God. Maybe laying the groundwork for wider fruitfulness that somewhere far down the road is what's important to God. And maybe, like Moses, we won't be here to see the full outcome. Our task in the meantime, however, is to be faithful in following God's will and to overflow with gratitude for the tasks that God has entrusted us with today. I'll be honest, even when we are faithful and thankful, we might not experience the fullness of God's plan. And that can be disappointing. We're expecting a lot. We're expecting great things. And we're going to experience some great things. But maybe we won't see the big end plan. But Moses does provide us glimpses of the promised land. And we see that those glimpses when we see Christ at work among each other, when we see teaching and healing, encouraging, forgiving, reconciling. When we see all of those things, we see what God has in store for us. And we can see the splendor that God has in store for us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our communion hymn, "Loaves Were Broken, Words Were Spoken." We're only doing verses 1 and 3.
To sustain us when we are in need. We also hold all such good things in trust to join with the prophets, apostles, martyrs of the faithful, in every time and place, who forever say to the glory of your name, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. So now we take this bread and this not quite wine, that they may be a constant present of the spirit of life and love, healing and renewing, making us whole. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, he took the bread and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples saying, Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Take, drink. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, God Be the Love to Search and Keep Me, number 543. Not leave God behind when we leave this sanctuary, contrary to popular belief. God's call to love, humility, to work, and service that benefit all is clear. May this call be ever before us, guiding us, inspiring us, enabling us to be Christ's body, his hands, his feet, his heart in this God's world. May the grace, hope, peace, and love of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with us all now and forever. Amen.